It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome everyone to the George Williams Show. I'm so glad to be back behind the mic, folks, on a rainy night. And I'll tell you something, we need that rain. Last week I planted some ryegrass for my animals, and we need it to come up because hopefully the winter will not be that bad. But anyway, welcome to the George Williams Show. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And we'll give you a few minutes, because if you know somebody who's not in our listening area, now we have a large listening area, almost 100 miles, really. Just tell them they can listen to us over the net at FM Talk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. That's FM Talk, 1065.com. All right, folks, we have a lot to talk about. We have at least two guests tonight. I invite them into the studio to talk to you because they're running for different offices. And the young lady who is sitting right opposite me, she is from Baldwin County, and she is running for the State Agriculture Commission.
Well, let me correct you.
Okay.
Commissioner for Agriculture and Industries,
that's
George.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. And industry. I forget about that industry. And Christina Warner McInnes.
Yes.
All right. I pronounced that right. Right. Normally, I'm used to two names, not three. But that's your married name, right?
Yeah. When you're a farmer, you've got to include the maiden name.
Okay. Yes. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. It's great to be here.
All right. Can you tell our audience something about yourself,
Sure.
So they can get to know who Christina is?
Absolutely. But let me start off with saying I am honored to be here. George, okay. You have quite the reputation out there.
Good.
Vietnam
I
veteran.
I hope it's good now.
It is. It okay. is. So I am honored that you asked me to be here. Thank you.
All right.
So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a fifth-generation farmer. Mm-hmm. My family has been farming here in Alabama since 1906.
Wow.
I have four children.
Mm-hmm.
They are, mercy. They are the sixth generation of farmers. And I am married to Timothy McInnes for 22 years.
Right.
And he's the CEO of McInnes Construction, who does all those roads and bridges. So
right,
I do
right.
a lot of turf grass.
Okay.
And I am probably, we have farms in Florida, Alabama, Colorado. My dad has some in Hawaii,
right.
but and my husband builds a lot of Alabama. We say, when we finish our day, we both have a set of boots on. His are steel toed and mine are cowboy.
Yeah, I'm looking at them.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been out there getting my windmill fixed today.
Great. All right. So you have that knowledge of
mm-hmm.
farming. And
mm-hmm.
and so is that why you got into the race?
Okay. So not only... I get to brag on the fact that I'm a fifth-generation farmer. I love farming. I was raised on the back of a tractor and blessed to have literally been raised from the dirt up.
Right.
But nationwide now today, George, I work under Lowe's brand, Stay Green, and SiteOne's brand, Lesco. I do their ag technology software nationwide.
Wow.
So on top of growing some what I call the world's most amazing grass.
Right.
I'm also powering their soil technology software platform. And,
okay.
But let me tell you, that is my experience, and that's what brought me to – I had Coach Tuberville and Commissioner Pate ask me to a farm bill table. And
right.
if you know anything about me, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there. Yes, I'm a girl.
Right.
Yes, I'm a farmer.
Right.
But I'm really, really smart.
Okay.
So when you put policy in front of me,
mm-hmm.
that's when you really get me going.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at the nation, we have the Farm Bill.
Right.
Are you familiar with the Farm
yes,
Bill?
I
okay.
am.
You're looking at $123 billion. Okay. So you got Tuberville and Commissioner Pate talking to the round table with these farmers. And this bill will carry us, goodness, I mean, almost 15 years after you plant it, ride it, and then it's in place for 10 years.
Right.
It's such an incredibly important. piece of legislation. And so by the time I finished that meeting, I was firing off on all cylinders. Right. I was like, is anyone using artificial intelligence in their business operation?
Okay.
You know, what about base acres, reference prices? You know, a lot of things that the Farm Bill really was kicking down the road because we weren't finalizing it.
Right.
And then I had the opportunity to be with Secretary Brooke Rollins. Mm-hmm. Have you met her yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, she's a phenom. So okay. Trump appointed Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Right.
And she is faced with a lot of difficult things. So as you've seen, tariffs going on, droughts going on,
right.
many things affecting farmers. Mm-hmm. And farmers are...
And the Chinese.
And we'll talk about China, okay? China is here.
Right.
We'll say it three times. China is here. China is here.
Right.
And so when you're with her, she said, I asked myself two questions. She said, is this good for the U.S. farmer? And is this good for our children? And that last question kind of stuck with me. Why is our Secretary of Ag so concerned about the children? Oh, maybe she's worried about the next generation.
Right.
Well, that's when I began to understand that 80% of the Farm Bill is SNAP, George. 80%. So $123 billion, $99 billion annually is SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Program for our children in the United States.
Wow. So tell our audience what SNAP is.
Okay. The Supplemental Nutrition Program is meant to take care of the needy. It is an incredibly important program that's spending a lot of taxpayer money and dollars.
Right.
The problem is this. When you turn on any kind of social media, let's start there, all you see is people bragging about their misuse and abuse, mm-hmm. blatantly, for others to share,
right.
comment on. And then when you're looking at the statistics, you have the Trump administration found that 186,000 dead people were getting SNAP benefits. But wait, I'm going to give you the biggest shocker of it all.
Wow.
Fox News presented stats that Alabama is leading the nation. Now, mind you, put density population for California, New York, and Florida. Alabama is leading the nation with stolen SNAP benefit claims.
Wow.
So,
where is this money going?
Good question, George, okay. which is why this is so incredible. You should never ask, where are my tax dollars going? You should know they're always going to a child or a family that needs it.
Right.
And so then you're standing at the grocery store, and here I am shopping. You said Walmart was your favorite place.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to call out any specific place, but you're there. And you can see margarita mixes on SNAP, but the Alabama rotisserie chicken is not qualified. Come on, what's going to feed kids and families in Alabama?
That's right.
Alabama rotisserie chickens.
That's right.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to protect our families. We're going to give SNAP, and I support what Senator Britt, all her work, and Secretary Rollins. Two, we're going to push China out. We're going to keep China out. We're going to put Alabama first.
Right.
We're going to get those young farmers into the field. If we're not cultivating that next generation, we're not farming. These kids think that potatoes are grown on top of the ground.
Yeah. I remember being in school in Alabama before we went up to New Jersey. And in the school, especially up in New Jersey, they had the Future Farmers of America.
Oh, great program.
Great program. And where did it go?
You know what? Okay, so I'm going to give an analogy. When COVID came out, I walked in Target, and it was just, and I walked in, and I saw no toilet paper on the shelves,
right.
and the red alarm started going off.
Right.
That question, what you just asked, should be sending off red alarms everywhere.
Okay.
Where are the Future Farmers of America? Where are these young farmers? We have got to get the young farmers back into the field profitably and successfully. It's so hard.
Right.
The land is so high. The equipment is so high. The inputs are so high. So we're going to really work and cultivate our young farmers. We're going to get behind Sweetgreen, Alabama as an agritourism experience.
Right.
Alabama has 29 million visitors. Okay. Let's put those tourism dollars to work in agriculture. And then we're going to work on a voluntary grant portal. So I've got a 5-point plan.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm that girl who's a farmer, who's smart. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go work for Alabama.
Right.
And we're going to get things done.
Right. We got another minute before the break. What are some of those plans that you have?
So specifically when it comes to Sweetgreen, Alabama, I want to do kind of what I've done with Lowe's and Site One. Let's make it a software experience so the tourists don't even know. But we're telling them to stop at Coleman. We're telling them to stop at Bruton to the Blueberry Festival. We're telling them where the farmers markets are so they can buy local. For every dollar that is spent in an agritourism experience, 60 cents is going to stay in that community. Mm-hmm. And that money is power.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The Black Belt area,
mm-hmm.
that is a lot of farmland, correct? Mm-hmm. And they're not utilizing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to start doing that because, you know, look at, I have a buddy who's got like 15 chickens and every day they have eggs.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. We're going into a break. We'll be right back after these messages, folks.
Sounds good, George.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And we are on the mission. And you're listening to the George Williams Show. And our special guest at this moment, sitting right across from me, is a candidate for... And I have to, I'm used to saying just agriculture, but you call it agriculture and industry.
And industries. Don't forget, next time you're at Piggly Wiggly or Greer's right. or any grocery store, right. you look at the scales there, the self-checkout. There's really, take a look at the self-checkout. Right. There's a little sticker there that says it's been weights and measures by the Alabama Department of Ag and Industries.
Yeah. And also the gas.
Oh, so pumps. Here's your funny story about the gas pumps. Because okay. I have four kids that's doing this journey with me, okay?
Right.
So, and of course, they don't understand exactly the dynamics of the, let's call it ADAI, Alabama Department of Ag and Industries.
Right.
So my second daughter, Georgia Lucille, FaceTimes me from Auburn. Uh-huh. And she's there with her classmates. Mama, I see you're at the gas pumps. You're going to be at the gas pumps. I said, yes. And I'm thinking my brain is at weights and measures.
Right.
Mom. My classmate just asked if you could lower the gas prices. Nope, that has nothing to do. Nope.
Good question. Though.
But you would be amazed at how many people don't realize how deep the Alabama Department of Ag and Industry goes. Almost every Alabamian is touched by this office every day.
That's true.
Grocery store, public school cafeterias, gas stations,
right.
And farmers,
right.
Which and is what I'm comfortable talking
you know,
about.
When you go into other states, like when you cross from Alabama to Florida, mm-hmm. you had the food check, you know, and why don't we have that in Alabama, or don't we need it?
I'm not entirely sure. I do know that Alabama does a great check of checking things, like should there be a greening outbreak or something.
Right.
We've got agents out there looking at things.
Right.
I'm not sure of that, but I do want to go back and talk on what you were asking about the Black Belt.
Okay.
So when you're talking about the Black Belt and cultivating, let me just talk about Black Belt and Alabama and the nation.
Okay.
So China owns 400,000 acres of U.S. soil.
400,000
owns.
How did they buy it?
I mean, China openly says they're coming to take us over.
That's true.
I mean, and they're coming in here. So they own one out of four hogs here being raised. So here's a startling perspective. 85% of our meat processing here
right.
is controlled by four companies.
Okay.
Two are owned by foreign people or foreign countries. Foreign countries and foreign companies.
Right.
So, and one of those is China. So, 50% of a major part of our meat processing is owned by another country. And I say this all the time. How do you control a country? You own the land. You control the food source. You control. We will be a slave to the hand that feeds us. So, that's why it's so important that we be a sustainable and independent on our own as a domestic source as we possibly can. Now, I love international trade. That's great and wonderful. But it's one of those things where you put your own oxygen mask on before you take care of somebody else in the mm-hmm. airplane when you're going
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we've walked away from that as a nation. We have gotten, and I can say this because, like I said, I've got four kids. They bring friends home. We've gotten very detached from the farm.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
when you sit and talk to grown adults or kids that don't realize potatoes are grown in the ground, and they have no idea where an egg comes from. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, it's found at your grocery store. We have got to bring the importance back and underscore what we have done so incredibly well. Alabama's number one industry is agriculture. Do you know how much of an economic impact it is? $77 billion. Whoa. 10% of our workforce. So you have something that we are really, really good at, and slowly we're chipping away at the small farms, selling them off. We're slowly becoming a slave to another country, and then you wake up overnight and it's too late to react. So wow. I'm excited about running for Alabama's Commissioner of Ag and Industries, because that's, I have the 5-point plan. We're going to work hard for Alabama, and we're going to be smart about what we do for Alabama.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
That's unbelievable. And what are some of your other concerns?
So, you know, we covered the SNAP in the Farm Bill. We covered China. And we've covered a little bit about how Sweetgreen, Alabama could be an amazing agritourism experience. So I think my 5-point plan, which is kind of boring, but it is something to take in consideration. Mm-hmm. You have federal, state, local, and private grants, okay? And now this affects gas stations, churches, schools, and farmers. And if you've ever had a grant opportunity come through your email, you kind of read it. You think, oh, I don't know if I qualify. You open it up. It looks like it's 70 pages long. It's going to take you 2 years to complete, and the deadline's in 2 weeks, you know? Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is have a voluntary grant portal where we'll have a headhunter go find the grant for you. So tell me, are you a gas station? Are you a school? Mm-hmm. You know, would you be interested in greenhouses at your school? Would you be interested at, I heard somebody, they were getting EV charger grants. Mm-hmm. And, would you, you know, and the reason I know this is important is because our company, we had a grant come through, and my brother had been on the tractor all day, read all the bills, and then when he finished that day, that email, he just hit delete, okay? But I opened it, our team did it, and what we found out is not enough farmers applied for it. And so that money was already earmarked. And so we ended up getting an extra tranche from it. Mm-hmm. And so not enough farmers are applying for this because they're doing what they do best. They're out in the field, and they don't want to get behind the desk chair to do this paperwork. So mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. I want to brag about the fact of how much we're pulling into this state and keeping dollars here.
Okay. Now, what about the veteran farmers?
So there are great programs for veteran farmers. There really are. And I saw Brooke Rollins, Secretary Brooke Rollins. She released a couple of them. And I want to say one was specifically targeted at veterans. And I, we have a warrior project over in Robertsdale or Locksley. I went to go see him. And I talked to him about that because mm-hmm. you got to think about it from veterans' perspective. They're struggling with a lot of post-traumatic, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with post-traumatic, there's a lot of therapy and other things, but what is the most wholesome therapy you could do? Put your hands in the ground mm-hmm. and grow something.
Right, right.
Get outside.
Right.
And then furthermore, when you're done with it, that produce can be sold to the kids' lunches
true.
And to the kids' schools for mm-hmm. them to eat a very healthy local produce.
Right. the reason I said that is, you know, I live out in the country and I have animals. And I put in for a grant, you know, to help with the pasture land and the fences. And I was surprised that the federal government doesn't have anything for veterans. You know, if they give you a loan, it's a loan. Mm. It's not a grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so they didn't have nothing for veterans. This is the federal, you know.
I'll have to share with you. I think there was one released for veterans just recently.
Okay.
I've got to go back and look.
Okay.
Because had I not been approached by the Warrior Project, I honestly, he was my first person who's asked me to specifically look at veterans.
Right, right. And the reason I say that is because I was shocked. And I talked to Jerry, you know, and I talked to Barry Moore about it. And, you know, I just feel that you know, this is a new thing you're talking about. So maybe as a result of
Here's what's the horrible reality of it is the suicide rate for veterans and farmers.
I know.
Separate the two right now in the discussion is so high.
Right.
It's so high. So when you can combine something where you're a veteran and a farmer and we're doing resources that help pull down the suicide rate.
Right.
That's good for everybody.
It's good. Now, I know that President Trump is doing something to help the veteran. And one is keeping the taxes, you know, for farm equipment, because that's very expensive, you know. And still, when you go into Tractor Supply and all those and you're buying farm equipment, they're charging taxes on that. They should not be. And I think Alabama should lead the way and say, no, you know, you it's farm equipment, so it you know shouldn't be taxed because you're raising food that for for the
and at the very least, if we could like kind of you know looking at the mountain, let's say this looks like a mountain, take one bite at a time. How can we start with just going off of irrigation equipment? Let's start there and say, okay, we can all agree that we need to put more land under center pivots. And a veteran, someone comes and they say, okay, well, I'm going to go buy the center pivot. If we could start there,
start
with that group and see how that works.
Then that would be, you know, advantageous.
Yes.
For the veterans because, and it's also therapeutic for them. You know, and that's why I think, you know, my attention is drawn to that.
And so when you look at how that can end up on the plates of our school children in our state and the nutrition. So going back to SNAP, we were talking about this. I mean, 3 out of 4 of our children are clinically obese on SNAP.
I'm telling you, they are.
And we have got to do, we can do better, George. We can.
Well, you know, $120-some the other day for my basket of food. And there was a young lady, not an old lady, a young lady with 3 children, and each one of them was pushing a cart full of food. Okay, and the lady was huge. You know, there has to be some kind of control.
Well, I checked out today. I went to the grocery store. I decided to do all of my Thanksgiving shopping at 7 o'clock this morning. And I went to the grocery store, and I did some this weekend at the Coastal Farmers and Fishermen Market, which, by the way, we're number 2 in the nation there. And I did I did a huge amount there on Saturday. But
we're going to go into a break, but we're going to hold you over.
Okay.
We're going to hold you over. We'll be back, right back with with Ms. McKenzie, who is a candidate for Agriculture and Industry Commission in Alabama, folks. We'll be right back.
You got it.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, welcome back. Welcome back. And we are on a mission. We are talking to our candidate for agriculture and industry. Yes, and we're so glad to have her on. Miss, I'll just say Christine Warner.
Christina Warner McInnes. You got it, George.
I got it, folks. All right, Christina, thanks for coming on.
Sure.
We appreciate that. And
and
we're supposed to have another guest, but I told our guests hold off until next week because this, to me this is very important.
Sure.
Very important having you on. What other plans do you have, you know, if you know you're elected as the commissioner?
Sure.
For ag and industry.
Well, let me touch back on this real quick because I know this is important to your heart and ours. So the beginning veteran farmer through Operation Grow through the Alabama Extension is what I was discussing. And I had to go put my fingers on it real quick. But it is it provides a special emphasis on the training needs of military veterans interested in agriculture. And when you're looking at a veteran, all of the post-traumatic stress, you're looking at the suicide rate, and you're looking at the wholesome, I mean, farmers' suicide rate are so high too, but you look at the wholesomeness of really growing something that could end up on a school plate of our children mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. locally is huge. And so would love to hear any personal stories if someone has used this program or is going to use this program, because I think it's going to be phenomenal for kids, farmers, and veterans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the foods that are served in the schools
mm-hmm.
For the lunch and some schools' breakfasts, that comes from Alabama, correct?
So let's talk about that, going back to some of the things you're going to work
okay.
on. So Commissioner Pate started a program with I don't know all of the entire details, but basically if you bought a serving from Alabama sweet-grown produce and put it on the plate, you got a 25 cent kickback. And then he had an allocated amount that he was able to have that first year. And as soon as he went through that amount and ran out of money, people kept buying sweet grown Alabama food to put on the plates.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, every year, the amount, whether it be through a grant or the legislators so graciously extend it, we are putting more and more. But George, up until, I mean, kind of Commissioner Pate and John McMillan, Commissioner McMillan, they really started to work on this. There were times that kids went through our cafeterias in the public school system and never ate food that was produced here in Alabama.
Wow.
So I'm excited to see that initiative. I want to grow that initiative because when you're looking at the state of Alabama, we are number two in the nation for poultry. It's billions of dollar business.
Wow.
Okay. And yet, how do we get more of what we do good into the plates of our homes and our children? Because right. we were just talking about this, health of children. That is a healthy, lean protein when cooked correctly. When there's high protein, it's really lean. It's good for the kids. It's good for our farmers. It's kind of like, you know, you're a dairy state. Okay, let's mm-hmm. say you're a dairy state. Well, you need to be feeding your kids, you know, the dairy made from your state. Well, mm-hmm. we're a poultry state. And now y'all know I love the other crops because I'm not a poultry farmer, but it's our cash cow. It's our mm-hmm. golden goose, so you mm-hmm. need to protect it. And so we need to be figuring out more and more ways that our tax dollars, our children are benefited from our number one industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it. Kids love chicken. I mean, Chick-fil-A's built a whole billion-dollar empire yeah. off just eat more chicken.
Yeah, I love chicken.
I do, too.
I love chicken. We also have a very large meat industry here in Alabama,
yes,
too.
Cattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
cattle. And so I actually had the opportunity to go to Perdido River
okay.
meat processing. We've got another one on County Road 32 about to open. I think that one's called Maximus Meats. But I got
that
to
was
go,
Oa, right? The Indians.
Yes, at yes. Perdido River. It's down. Yeah. It's in Atmore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you got to think about it like from a Native American perspective. You want sustainability. You want to take care of your tribe. You want, I mean, food is a national security issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so they built a meat processing facility and worked with the Alabama Department of Ag, Commissioner okay. Pate, and the tribal chief, Stephanie Bryan, and their whole mm-hmm. group. They worked together, put this together. And I got to go in and see it. And what was interesting was as I walked through the meat processing lockers, there's two lines at the very end. Okay. The cattle are done and they're about to go get ground chuck or ribeyes. The ones that were raised by Perdido River were 20 to 30% larger than the private-owned cows that were coming in for private slaughter. So you can take your private cow up there to be slaughtered. And so they lined up the private cows to one side, and they had the Perdido River, and they are very particular about the genetics of their cattle, what they feed them as a diet, how they process them, and they've been doing cattle for decades
right,
there
right.
in Atmore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and you talked about the Chinese.
Oh yes,
and there are others too,
mm-hmm.
That owns a lot of land in Alabama and all over the place, and Trump mentioned President Trump mentioned that, mm-hmm. so they're trying to do something about it now.
So let's talk about all the different ways that China comes in. Many people think, okay, they bought 400,000 acres. Let's do a law that stops them from buying in Alabama, which we've done. Congratulations, we got that accomplished.
Okay.
And then we find out the Chinese are renting next to military base, sensitive areas, okay?
Right.
So then we had to do an amendment, okay? But see, what's happening is, and George, you would understand this, when you do an agriculture R&D project, they're about 8 years long, okay?
Right.
8 to 10 years.
Right.
By the end of it, you have hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the one that we have, we're starting off with 800 samples. And when we finish it, it'd be about 5-8 years, we're going to finish with 5 superior finale, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you allow China to have their high academia come into the tail end of a land-grant university, into the upper end of the R&D, they come in and at the very end, they bypassed all that 800. They know exactly the 5, what happened. They walk out with intellectual property.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, so startling thing, did you know that 80% of the cranes that are U.S. ports are Chinese-made? Okay.
Wow.
So I went and sat down with the CEO when he was there, and he said, yes, it's Chinese made, cost. He said, but we ripped out all of the software so that it cannot be hacked.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then you still have drones that are Chinese made and Chinese controlled. And I mean, we're entering a whole new generation of you got to think about a foreign control comes in all different ways, not necessarily like a nuclear bomb, like mm-hmm. we're very traditionally used to.
Yeah. I heard on the news today, on Fox News, about the military. They seized dozens of Chinese drones,
mm.
and they're beginning to use those,
mm-hmm.
okay, to determine, you know, their specific about them and, you know, what they consist of and all that. So it's a good training for our military
right.
to learn what's in those, you know, what is the composition in those drones. So I think under President Trump, we are, you know, they're very worried about it,
mm-hmm.
about China and some of the other countries too.
I agree. Any adversarial country, you know, when especially China, because they brag about it.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
they have a plan. They publish mm-hmm. their plan. They're very yeah. organized. They're very smart.
Right.
And, I mean, we have to, I keep going back to this analogy, we have to put our own oxygen mask on first before we share it.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm for the right international trade, not against that. I just, we need to make sure that we don't compromise our national security issues mm-hmm. here mm-hmm. on U.S. soil for our U.S. children and families mm-hmm. and citizens at the expense of, well, it was a good price to sell, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because one thing about American, if they can sell their product or sell their land and get money for their pocket, they don't give a damn who they sell it to. You know what I mean?
This right.
I think it's what's been happening
right.
in America, you know, not only with the Chinese, but some of our other adversary groups.
I mean, I sat back the other day, George, and I just went through my cabinets and I flipped over Made in China, you
yeah.
know. And I looked at all of that and I said, wow, you know, I didn't even realize how much merchandise that I was not prioritizing U.S. businesses.
Right.
And we need to. So going back to shopping for Thanksgiving at the Coastal Farmers and Fishermen Market, that was supporting local businesses
right.
that are cultivating some of the best, I mean, I would say in the nation. We
right.
really cultivate some of the best produce here and we should prioritize that.
Right. What about the budget for the Department of Ag and Industry? It's never enough.
Okay. So,
I know
so
that.
That's
I know
the
that.
Thing. You know, George, it's just when looking at this office, I honestly kind of want to take a sigh and go, what's the budget going to be cut like? You know,
right, yeah.
you know, because,
yeah.
I mean, it regulates our number one industry.
Okay.
It is a food security issue. It is our state veterinarian lab.
Right.
It does food safety. You guys see the little food out right now with baby food.
Right.
And botulism right now.
Right.
I mean, this office is there to regulate, protect, health, safety, so much more. And I can tell you this, it's the one thing that we kind of disregard.
Okay.
You know, especially okay. when there needs to be a
mm-hmm.
cut made.
Right.
So what we're going to have to do is go fight for it. We're going to
okay.
have to fight for our budget,
mm-hmm.
Justify why we need the budget, but then also figure out ways that we get creative with the budget too.
Right.
So how do we grow revenue with it? Which I'll say this. That's what I do in the private world.
Okay.
That's how I make money.
Yeah. So included in your budget is also the revenue coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will help you do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that enough?
No, there's never enough. No, like I said, we're going to have to get creative. You know, we're going to have to, for instance, one thing. Okay, so let me ask you a question. When you're at a land-grant university and you're out of state, do you pay more tuition?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So Alabama Department of Ag and Industries, if we do services for people out of state, i.e. Weights and Measures Division,
right,
we're going to need to probably look at adjusting their fees
mm-hmm.
to reflect the fact that, again, we have to take care of the Alabama businesses, and this might have a different fee set. We're going to have to get creative with things.
Okay.
And I think also going back to the voluntary grant portal, you know, there are grants that the ADAI are applying for and getting.
Right.
But what else could we be getting and elbowing for, too?
Right.
How do we grow that?
How do you grow that? It's interesting. You know, you're telling us something that a lot of voters don't know.
They don't. They don't.
They don't.
They think this is just an ag position. And ag is my passion, which right. is why I feel like I'm qualified, first and foremost.
Right.
But it's so much more than ag. And I need everyone to go down ballot May 19th and say, this matters.
Right.
Christina knows what she's doing. I need her to represent me.
Right.
I need her to go fight for Alabama
right.
and fight for our farmers and businesses. So I'm going to throw a little shameless plug in. May 19th, Christina Warner McKinnis, the only girl in the ag and industries.
Okay. We're going to hold you over for our last break. This is our last break.
Okay.
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 And then we'll continue with you. But I think it's very important to have you on for the whole show.
Great.
So you can talk to our voters. And they'll know who you are and know where you stand. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before they get out and vote. And that's very important.
Yeah. It is. It's
very
important.
Very important. And you can, you know, we'll wind down. You could tell us some of the other ideas that you have. Okay. And to me, the farming is so important. Then I'll ask you about the fishing industry because, okay. And
mm-hmm.
then you can tell us a little bit about that. One thing I always wondered is, they have a quota on red snappers, you know, when they go fishing out in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask you a few questions regarding that.
Okay.
You know, we'll be right back after these messages, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. And we're here with the candidate for the Commission for Ag and Industry. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
All right. Mrs. Christina Warner McKenzie.
So, McKinnis.
McKinnis. McKinnis.
Yes.
So, folks, she's very smart concerning the agriculture. She's a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth generation?
Fifth generation since 1906 here in Alabama.
Wow.
My family. That
is something. So we're talking to her, and she's running for that position, folks. And we mm-hmm. want you to know her. And she's going to repeat her platform for you. So mm-hmm. she has some ideas, and I think you have five points.
I have the 5-point plan. And, all of this stemmed from the fact when you look at the Alabama Department of Ag and Industries, it goes so much beyond farming, which I protect farming because that's what made me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at my husband with roads and bridges, when you have equipment, and we have, in any given point, we have 50 to 100 trucks running on the interstates and roads.
Whoa.
We have hundreds of employees statewide that we employ.
Wow.
But it gives me that practical sense to say, how does this affect me and what can I do to make it better? And so
right.
let's talk about the 5-point plan. First and foremost, that farm bill, it is a huge backbone of our nation, but right. there's no farm left in the farm bill. And we are going to have to do the overhaul that's going on. Senator Britt, Secretary Rollins, get behind them. We are going to have to put those dollars into the families and children in our state that need it in a way that gives them nutritious food. Let's get that margarita mix off. Let's put that rotisserie chicken on.
Right. Now, that SNAP program is the same as the welfare, right? They just use a different
food
name.
Food stamps.
Right, food
yes,
stamps.
Yes,
okay,
but it right. also takes care of food pantries and other things. So this is critical that we're doing nutritious ways. And then two, let's keep China out in all forms. Let's protect our farmers. Let's protect our intellectual property. Let's protect our security. Three, let's get those young farmers into the fields okay. profitably, successfully. And then four, Sweetgreen, Alabama, let's turn it into an agritourism experience for those 29 million visitors. Funny story. I sit down with all kinds of businesses, and I was sitting down with Bryant Bank, and I said, so where are the 29 million visitors going? And every time everyone says, George, where are they going?
To go shore.
Okay, they're going to the beach.
Right,
the beach. And he didn't even miss a beat, and he said, an Alabama football game. I said, okay,
no,
I might be a little humbled there. But, you know, so let's make the tourists, let's pair that economic engine with our number one industry in the state, and let's turn that revenue on fire for our farmers.
Right, right.
And then the fifth point is the voluntary grant portal. Just like you said, I didn't know that this grant existed. I didn't know there's nothing for this. Well, give us your profile and let us go find it for
right,
you.
Right, right, right. So you see yourself as the ag commissioner really going, starting these new programs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's important.
Or enhancing ones like Sweetgreen, Alabama.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Innovation and ingenuity behind it.
Right. Now, what I also see is my daughter and her husband are doing insurance claims, and they're from Pennsylvania. And the only place they shop at are the Amish places.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And fantastic food.
Yes, and there's a Mennonite one just up the road
right.
here in
yeah.
Atmore. I
yeah.
stop at. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, if we can bring more of those farmers in here and get our own, you know, regular citizens to get to work together with them, that would be fantastic because I don't see too many farmers markets in Alabama like I see in Mississippi.
So we are blessed. Well, let me tell you this. I stopped in Huntsville at the Tourism and Chamber of Commerce, and there are five different farmers markets in Huntsville, all different days, all different hours, but it's a very fragmented thing. So, like, let's put that with the Sweetgreen, Alabama experience, and you know exactly when they are on, what they're doing. So I was at the Coastal Farmers Market this weekend. We're number two in the nation, okay? And I'm there, and I got to tell you, on the campaign trail, I can handle a lot of stress, okay?
Right.
But having a bunch of fourth and fifth grader girls looking at me on who's the winner of the Harvest Queen,
right.
I was like, ooh, it's a lot. So, but going back, there were hundreds of people there that day.
Right.
Shopping for Thanksgiving, watching these sweet little girls with Harvest. There's so many great programs that we need to make more information out there for people to come enjoy that kind of
okay.
stuff.
Okay. And that is so important. It's mm-hmm. very important because I love to see young children out there like I was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Daphne, when we left here when I was 10 years old. But my grandfather and grandmother and my uncles and aunts, they lived in Daphne. They had 50 acres, and that was a lot at that time. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And we're all farmers. And like I was telling you earlier, a couple of my buddies over in Babinette, over in the country area, they have chickens and they're giving away eggs and stuff.
And that's
they're
the thing.
Away.
When you're there at the farmer's market, me, selfishly, I go to Foley because Baldwin County, and you walk up to the Lillian Cattle Company, you know that cow has not been blended with any other foreign country
right, right.
and mismarketed or whatever. You know the farmer.
Right.
I don't want to look the cow in the eye, but you
right.
basically know the cow
right.
that you're getting.
Right.
And I mean, selfishly, like, we have some great resources here that we need to double down on and really get back to the farmers and shop there. But I agree with you. And going back to a funny story, talking about your neighbors with chickens. So I told my husband when I got on the campaign trail, one thing, no more cows.
Okay.
Okay. Cows, they're gonna wait to 2 o'clock in the morning. They're gonna go into those heifers are gonna have that baby, and it is just drama. It's just, and I said, I'm like, Tim, you're a great bridge builder, but no cows. I didn't get my way. I got more cows.
And you know what I like, and I'm getting ready to buy 4 sheep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got goats. And I'm getting ready to buy 4 sheep, 2 males and two females. And I'm telling you, I love raising animals.
I do, too.
Raising animals.
I do recommend not naming them.
No. Well, I had to name I have a big white bull.
Okay.
And when I first got him, they brought him over to Baymanet. He escaped. So I called the horse. Mac was the sheriff. I said, "Horse, if any of your people see a white bull, please call me." So the third day he called me. He said, "We found that bull." So I had to name him. I named him Runaway.
That's great, George.
I named him Runaway.
Yeah, maybe T-Bone would be good too.
People look at him and they say he's so vicious, but I go and pat him on the head.
Really?
And, yeah.
Oh.
But he kept getting out, so I had to put some hot wire.
Yes.
Yeah, he won't come. He won't get close to the wire.
My bull got out when I was in high school and got hit on the road. It was terrible. Yeah, they get out. They get out.
They can
do some damage too. Luckily, the driver was safe. Everything was fine.
So, Christina, talk to our audience. You got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, I just want everyone to know that my name is Christina Warner McInnes. I'm running for Alabama's Commissioner of Ag and Industries. This race is important to every Alabamian, not just farmers, every Alabamian and businesses alike. This office touches almost every single one of us every day. Mm-hmm. And number one, everyone turn out the vote, May 19th. Of next year. Mm-hmm. Number two, follow my Facebook page. So I have 4 kids and they get a little mischievous in the comments. So like if I wear the dress too many times or I eat the strawberries from the strawberry festival before they get home from college, come join the Facebook page. Right. And then number three, follow the website, financial contribution support, whatever I can do. And I love coming to businesses for meet and greets.
Okay.
So if you have a business and you want me to come and share with the staff members, the team members that you want your team involved, let me come speak to them. I love it. I actually talk to probably one business a week, if not more.
All right. What's your website?
McInnesForAlabama.com.
All right. Now, we're going to have you on some more.
Okay, great.
To talk about your campaign and let you talk to our audience. I think it's so important, this agriculture. Now, we haven't talked about industry, so when we get you back on, we're going to be talking about the second portion.
Yes.
Ag and
the
industry.
Gas stations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
the
we're going to talk about that. All right, folks, that's about it. Philip, how much time we have? 10, 9, 8 seconds. All right,
thank
folks.
You, George.
We really enjoyed you.
Thank you.
Okay, we enjoyed you coming on, and we're going to have you on some more.
Okay?
Great. All right, Christina Warner McKenzie.
Until next time, y'all.
Until next time. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Until then, Vaquan Deus, everybody.